basketball season has begun. Welcome into a very special Monday Camel Call podcast as we get you set for the basketball season for Campbell. We will have previews from the head coaches, Ronnie Fisher, from our women's basketball team, and Kevin McGeehan, head coach of our men's team, as both the coaches and teams get set for the season opener tonight, a men's-women's doubleheader. Starting at 5:30, the women will take on Mount Olive, and then the men's team gets after it as they take on Pfeiffer at 7:30. It is a home-heavy schedule here in the first couple of weeks, so make sure you come out and see the Fighting Camels. If you can't make it tonight, the men's team will be back at it after a tip to Virginia from the ACC on Wednesday. They will be right back at it this Sunday, Campbell at home, taking on St. Francis. And then November 13th, Wednesday, a 7 o'clock game before they go on the road for the next month. The only time they have a home game after their November 13th game and before their December 18th game is December 4th against Coastal Carolina. So make sure you get to see this exciting Campbell team. The women are going to be on the road for a good chunk of November and December as well. They will travel to Western Carolina coming up later this week, and then they'll be home for two big games the next week and a half. November 14th, a Thursday, versus old rival High Point, and then November 19th on Tuesday versus East Tennessee State. They play just one more home game between that game on November 19th and December 30th. So make sure you come out and see both these teams early. We'll start off our basketball preview with my visit last week with Campbell head coach Kevin McGeehan. Now in his 12th season as men's basketball head coach at Campbell University, Kevin McGeehan leads the Fighting Camels into year two of the CAA. Over these last eight seasons, Campbell has won more games in that span than in any other time in the program's Division I history. During that span as well, the Camels claiming four conference trophies, winning the 2019 Big South regular season title and Big South tournament runner-up in 2017, 2021, and 2023. Monday night, the season will start here at Gore Arena with a men's and women's doubleheader. The women start at 5:30. The men will start around 7:30. And again, this year, kids 12 and under are in for free to every home game. We're also giving discounts all year long to all Harnett County School teachers, staff, and administration. Those details at GoCamels.com. Coach, how are you doing less than a week before the start of season number 12?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. everything's going well. Practice is super competitive, and I think that's a really good sign.
Good sign as well. Coach, there are so many new faces on this team. Could you tell us who you think we'll be able to see making a big impact out of the gates?
Of the new faces?
Yeah.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk first about Colby Dugan's development since last year, because I think although he played a decent amount last year, he's really come along, and physically, confidence wise, so I think he's someone that is a older face that will be able to help us quite a bit this year. Of the new guys, I think they all have a chance to really be impactful. Just kind of going down the roster numerically, I guess Broggy would be the first one that sits there at number six. Doing really well, super athletic, really, really aggressive in how he plays the game. And I think he has a chance to be a guy that continues to develop as the season goes along. He was at Penn State last year, but he didn't get much opportunity. We had recruited him out of high school. And then, with timing of stuff in the spring and then coaching change at Penn State, he got a pretty good opportunity there, but didn't get to play a whole lot. And we were thrilled to have him. I think he's got his best basketball is ahead of him. Really, really. Very coachable, very much wants to be good, and I think as the pace of the game settles in, he kind of almost has a tendency to play a little faster than he should. So kind of understanding that pace, I think he's got a chance to really, really be a very, very good player.
What an interesting story, too. He's from Iceland.
Yep. He's from Iceland. You know, we were watching him on film and really liked him. We're kind of in the process of recruiting him before he went to Penn State. And one of the reasons why he caught our attention is that his brother was, A-10 player of the year at Davidson. So, you know, naturally you're like, well, let me take a look at this kid. He's probably pretty good. I think his other brother went to St. Louis as a player. Injuries cut his career short at St. Louis, but obviously some talent in that family. And, you know, Bragi is no exception. Very, very good player. I think his best basketball's ahead of him, which is exciting. You know, sometimes you get transfers and they're a little further along in their career and you see a shorter window for growth, or they're more developed as a player. And so you also see that. I think he's got a large window of growth left, which is super exciting. And Cam Gregory is coming from St. Francis, who we had an opportunity to play against last year. I wish he had had about 4 less points than he did in that game. We probably would have come out of there with a win. But terrific player, very, very poised, like just has a great pace to him, understands time and space and, you know, things look easy for him and he makes others better. And I think that those are his greatest attributes. He's got really good length. So defensively, the slighter in build, he's actually pretty basketball strong. You know, does a really good job keeping guys in front of him and using his length, and really just has a knack for kind of scoring in multiple different ways and doesn't press his game at all, like knows when to throw it to the next guy because that's a better shot, all that stuff. I think he complements Jason really well. Israel, y'all, he's actually been on the shelf here for a couple of days, but he's just getting back into the mix, but super athletic kid. Really a joy to be around, just super personality, really, really engaging and positive person and plays with really good energy, just, attacks the offensive glass, affects the game on the defensive end with his length and athleticism. Really has a chance to work his way to where he can really help us because he brings a different dimension to the game. You know, I can envision a game where we're like maybe slightly flat during a period and he can go provide a spark and energy to a game and, you know, just with a dunk or a block or, you know, a deflection, all the things that he does really well. Seems to have a really good understanding of his strengths, and also plays to those, which I think is an underrated tool or attribute today. You know, I think a lot of kids are unrealistic about what they are and they maybe play outside their strengths because they're trying to prove what they can do, which might not be a strength in the moment. And it actually ends up impacting them in a negative way. I think he's very in tune with what he's good at and does it consistently. And I think that allows him, it's going to allow him to continue to grow on the court and sort of improve some of the things that he's not quite as good at, which I think is a super positive. And because of his attitude, it really makes a difference.
Well, and this length, he's 6'9", out of Ghana, and that's just 6'9", you can't coach 6'9".
No, yeah, it's like he feels all of 6'9", you know, when he's out there, just because his activity level is so present that it really, it's noticeable. So it's not just tall guy, you know, it's tall guy that impacts a game because of size and length and athleticism. Caleb Zerlini is a transfer from Division II McKendree. He actually graduated this summer. And so we didn't have the benefit of having him through the summer workouts. But he's done a really nice job getting up to speed. I think he has a chance to be special. Really, really a game-changing type talent in that he's got really good length, really good athleticism, incredible balance, and just a really good skill set for his size. I mean, I think he's listed at 6'8", or is that right? Yeah, 6'8". But he has this balance that's like, he has the balance. Like, I think Jason, one of the reasons Jason's such a good player is because he's got tremendous balance. Like, he's never, he doesn't put himself in a bad spot too often. He's constantly, like, has a good base and balance about him. And Caleb has a similar balance at 6'8". You'd almost think he was 6'4", because of how well-balanced he is. So, but I think he was fourth in Division II in shot block shots last year. That's just something that translates, you know. He's a guy that can switch. He could play on the perimeter defensively. He can also, you know, guard inside. But really, really good player who I think is going to have a massive impact on our team. Next up will be Taryn Frank, who's, you know, he's played a bunch of places. He started at TCU, then went to Vanderbilt for a year, and then last year was at Idaho. And just a really good, experienced player that's strong and has a good, strong base underneath him. Has a great understanding of how to play the game. I think it fits really well with what we do. And I would say that throughout all the guys we brought in, that they're all just really good fits for how we play, you know, with an emphasis on skill at all positions, with the ability to kind of dribble, pass, and shoot everywhere. And then athletically, our length is good to be able to defensively impact the game in a different way. Taryn's no different than the rest, probably a little less lift, but very good with his shot fakes and understanding of when to throw it out and all that kind of stuff. And between him and Eric, who's kind of the last of the new guys, they're, you know, both will play our honcho position and I think can do a really good job complementing each other. And, you know, on a day that somebody's in foul trouble or whatever, not having a great day, the other guy can really go in and help. But Eric's been terrific. He, you know, we had seen him throughout his high school career, but he was just a little bit, you know, he just was tracking at a higher level, which is why he ended up starting at Ole Miss. But he was kind of playing more as a perimeter wing, kind of almost like a tall three man, like a three and D kind of high major player. And I think both at Ole Miss and at Wilmington, he was kind of just, wasn't necessarily a match for his, with how good a match it is with us. Like, now playing the honcho, he's, you know, getting shots that are step in threes as opposed to, you know, sprinting the corner to spot up and, you know, getting a chance to play a little more inside out. He's a good passer. And so I think he's going to have a chance to really be good. Had a really nice, did a really nice job in the scrimmage this past weekend.
And then you mix this in with a really good returning nucleus here of some guys that have some experience. Jason Sinani, of course, headlined your comebackers. He, after a position switch in the middle of last year, just came on and became one of the best scorers in the CAA. And then you have Gidimus Moksekis, as experienced as they come, having his fifth year. Elijah Walsh was a starter for you last year. Omar Harris from walk-on to a guy that was your first guy off the bench. Tassos Cook hampered by injuries, but that's a real experienced point guard. And, I mean, it seems on paper this is a deep team, one of the deepest teams you might have ever had.
And you didn't even mention Nolan Dorsey, who was with us all of last year, but was, you know, unable to compete. And, you know, he's really a special type defender. He brings an energy and an intensity that's unlike really anybody I've ever coached. And I think it has the ability to be contagious with the others. And it kind of fits the way we're trending defensively, of more aggressive. And so I totally agree with you. I think we got a really nice mix of returners with some experience, and in some cases, like G, a ton of experience. And then this mix of experience and younger new guys that are all going to be able to really help us. I mean, I think that the depth is pretty significant.
And you have put together just a really, really challenging challenging non-conference schedule here. We talked about the opener on Monday. You'll go at Virginia in this first week, a good matchup against St. Francis the first Sunday. And then you go on the road, Coach, from November 17th until December 18th, a month there. You have one home game, and the gauntlet that you're facing at Navy, at Ohio State, at Evansville, at Green Bay, at the Citadel, at Morgan State. Tell me what that stretch will do for your team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that number one, it's like when you break it down that way, it seems quite overwhelming. But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pile it all up.
No. However, we just have to look at it as a game at a time. And, you know, one of the things that I think we need to improve on to become a really good team is to be road tested. And, you know, to win in this league, you're going to go somewhere other than your home court to play three or four games to play for a championship. So, you know, we love playing in Gore Arena. We love our fans and everything that comes with playing home games. But having to play outside of the confines is what's going to really kind of test you and sort of strengthen your mettle or your resolve or whatever you want to call it. And we'll certainly be tested there. You know, I think we'll very much, those will feel like more chunked than the way you just described them, and that, you know, Navy's kind of an outlaw, separate, and then, you know, you chunk Ohio State and Evansville together, and then we'll come home and go back to Green Bay, and then we'll get a home game. And, you know, it feels a little better when you chunk them out like that. But for our guys, it's just like, you know, we're in this, you know, prove it mentality, and there's no better testing ground than having to do it on the road against good teams. And with the schedule is by far the hardest schedule we've had since I've been here. And so, you know, it's prove it time.
Yeah. And when you do finally get home, some really, really good home December games, which, as you know, are very hard to get. You got Coastal Carolina coming in here on December 4th and Longwood on December 18th. And I know, by the way, not in that stretch, but your final non-conference game of the season at North Carolina on the ACC network on December 29th.
Mm. Yeah. It's good to get some good, solid sort of contemporary-like opponents in your own building, you know. You know, we when you're building a schedule, it's not always as simple as, well, why didn't you just get them? Because the other team has to want to play. They have to have the date. So it's more complex than I think the average person probably realizes. But I think it's good to get, like, a Coastal in here, which, you know, long ago in the Big South, they were a rival. And, you know, it's regional relative. And then Longwood, who, you know, there is clearly a rivalry, you know, yep, going back to all the Big South matchups. And, you know, Griff does a terrific job, and, you know, have the utmost respect for the program that he's built there. And they'll be good, and they'll be ready, and they will feel like a CAA opponent, because of the style of play that they play. That will be like going up, you know, and playing Towson. You know, they're physical, they're, you know, defense oriented, very, very tough. And that'll be a really good test. Obviously games like Carolina are, you know, a totally different animal, but the Longwood ones are important because I think that we kind of know exactly what we're getting, and we get, you know, that's going to be an important game for us to try to play well.
You know, but my question is, here in your second year in the CAA, what did you discover from the first year? But you've answered it by, number one, your recruiting. There is a lot of 6'8", 6'9", guys that you needed to bring into this program because of the size, and then the tough schedule, and the tough schedule on the road. You were prepared last year, but it seems like you really, really know what you need to win in the CAA now.
100%. I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, going into the league, and we knew that it was going to be really good, high quality competition, was kind of two things. One was the depth of the league. So 14 teams, a lot different than nine. You know, and last year we were preparing a new scout every single day. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be new this year, because personnel is changing at a high rate across college basketball. However, you know, there's going to be some familiar concepts for the coaching staff because we've done it. We've been through it one time. So when you, you know, get Drexel on the opener, it's like, okay, well, you're not starting from scratch. Though the personnel will likely be very different, and that may alter some of the things that other teams are doing because, you know, you lose the big guy like they lost. Yeah. You know, the next guy may be just as good. He's probably going to be different, and he might be not as good, in which case they might lean on their guards more or what have you. So, you know, it'll definitely be, you know, game to game in that respect. However, I do think we'll have our legs under us a little bit more as far as just having a general base of information on all the teams. Now, they were all preparing for us new, but they were all doing it one time. We were doing it 13 times. And so I think that will give us a bit of an advantage. But the other thing is just that the physicality of the league is on a different level. So if back in the Big South days, we would have said, right, Longwood, we know, kind of know, is that physical, strong, you know, defensive-minded, very well. That's the league in the CAA. Like, everybody's strong, deep, athletic, physical, and so I think we definitely had that mindset going into recruiting of this is where we need to get better. We need, you know, we'd like to add shooting skill everywhere, but length and athleticism is a premium when we're looking for guys to complement what we have already in the program.
There's really a buzz around this team, Coach. It started in the summer when people in the athletic department would come by my office after, you know, going by one of your workouts and being like, "Have you seen these new guys? Have you seen the talk about the height, the athleticism?" And I know you're as excited as you've ever been for this team. This is a team to get excited about.
Yeah, there's no question. I think, you know, nationally and you know, throughout the league right now, we're not being thought about too much, and I don't think it'll be long before that changes, because I think there's depth of talent and athleticism. There's an excitement about guys being in the gym, workers and guys that are hungry to prove it, and you know, I think that makes coming to work every day really fun. And, you know, I think we're going to put ourselves in a position to have people get excited. I want them to be excited right now, because I know what I'm seeing every day.
Yeah.
You know, I've done this a fair amount, you know, for a fair amount of years, be it, you know, here and other places. And I know what a team looks like when the components are there. You know, obviously there's things that are going to factor in the schedules. Challenging, you know, health is always going to be a thing. That's for, you know, baseball, football, it doesn't matter, the sport, soccer, you know, staying healthy is critical. But I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think not only the talent infusion and the athleticism infusion, but stylistically we'll feel a little bit different. Somebody will walk in the gym that maybe saw us in the past and say, oh, they look different, because there's a different level of aggression to what we're doing, particularly defensively, but offensively as well. I mean, we have, you know, pretty much every time a rebound or a steal occurs, it's not like, where's the point guard? It's whoever has it is going. And that creates a different set of dynamics. Because one of the things that makes you effective in transition offense is that teams, two things. One, teams typically load toward the ball. We do too. Everybody does, because, you know, the ball's what scores, right? But then it's like trying to figure out matchups. And if you're able to push with pace and the matchups are messed up, well, I know how we do it and probably most do. You know, you're trying to put your guys on the best matchups possible. Well, if because you're able to push and transition, there's cross matches, then what you've practiced defensively really has to go back to your principles, which sometimes guys aren't in those positions to guard. you know, when you're going over the set plays and things like that. So it's actually a huge advantage. Kind of, you're hoping to score quickly, but the other part is also having them not be nearly as congruent defensively when you start whatever you're going to do after the transition push.
Finally, Coach, this is year 12 for you here at Campbell. This is year 14 for me as we get ready to start this basketball season. Now, it doesn't seem like that, at least to me. It doesn't seem that many years until I see your three children. You had two little boys and literally a baby girl when I met you 12 years ago, and everybody is all grown up. To tell me how the family's doing.
Yeah, everybody's doing great. You know, you couldn't be more right. It's like a blink of an eye. You know, I get the memories, whether they come up on my picture roll or through Facebook or whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, man, just give me one more day. Just give me one day. Let them at that age again, you know, because it does go by so quickly. And I think, you know, as a coach, you try to balance life and your job. And, you know, it's hard because sometimes there's sacrifices that have to be made and, you know, you miss out on some things, you know, and try to do everything I can to be a part of everything that they're doing. But, you know, when you get those photos, it's like, oh man, that was so long ago. And those are hard. Those times are harder to find as they get older. But they're all doing great. Grace will graduate from eighth grade and, Jack just graduated from high school and Connor will be a senior next year. So it's going very quickly.
Year 12, and it starts on Monday night, 7:30 for the men and 5:30 for the women. Coach, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Chris.
Coach McGeehan, along with head football coach Braxton Harris, will be my guest at Camel Call Live this Thursday, the last Camel Call Live of the fall, our live podcast from 6:30 to 7:30 at our new home this fall, Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. 2 weeks ago, Ronnie Fisher, women's basketball coach, along with head football coach Braxton Harris, stopped by Camel Call Live, where he gave us a preview of the season. Here's my conversation with Coach Fisher at Campbell Call Live. Joining me now in his ninth year as Campbell women's basketball head coach, he has amassed 152 wins here at Campbell, averaging 19 a season, a conference title, and three Coach of the Year awards. He is Ronnie Fisher. And Coach, this time you're so close but so far away from the beginning of the season. Your thoughts as you get ready for year number nine here at Campbell?
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris. We're just so excited to get going. It's when I came over here, it's a great time of year. Like, listening to Coach Harris talk, I mean, nothing like football this time of year. We got homecoming this weekend. You got all the soccers playing, volleyball. You got World Series.
Yeah.
NBA is starting up, and college basketball is here. So it's a wonderful time of year to be a sports fan. And we've been practicing really hard. We had a scrimmage Sunday, and really looking forward to kicking the season off.
Yeah, Coach, the headline for your team this year, after being so experienced, so veteran for so long, you had some players on your team last year that were here for 6 years, that were here for 5 years, that were here for 4 years. They have moved on. They have gotten their degrees and gone on out of eligibility, and you have some really, really exciting young talent this year.
Yeah, we just like you said, we lost seven seniors last year that really had tremendous careers. With them went about 70% of our scoring, 70% of our rebounding, and we brought in five freshmen, and we have three sophomores, so we've got a really, really young team, the youngest team I've had since I've been at Campbell, but they're a lot of fun to be around, and I love the things they can do. It's the fastest team I've had, and I said the other day they're really fast, but they don't know where they're running right now. So we've got to get that figured out. But I think it's going to be a neat journey, and can't wait to take it with them.
You talk about this team, and you have had some fast teams. As having one of your fastest, when you think about what you can do with that on the defensive end as well as the offensive end, it's got to be exciting.
It is, and that's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to really establish the how hard we have to play and how we compete on offense and defense. And in the past, we've competed on the defensive end, but maybe not in transition as much. And this year we're going to compete on the defensive end and really compete on offense in transition to try to get some easy baskets and pick up full court and do some things we really haven't been doing in the past few years.
You are young, but you do return some very familiar faces, some good players that are going to anchor this team, and it starts with Gemma Nunez. She played 33 minutes a game, led you guys in assists and steals and minutes, and she's back.
Yeah, she's, you know, as a coach, you want a point guard that's an extension of you on the court, and that's what Gemma is. She knows that I love toughness, and she's one of the toughest kids I've ever coached, and she's an unbelievable defender, and she literally leaves it all on the floor, not just every game, but every practice. I have to slow her down in practice, like, Gemma, it's okay, you know. that starts our team out, and when your point guard has that mentality, others follow. So she's doing a great job of leading, and she's a warrior, and she can do a lot of things. She handles it. She's got a great assist-turnover ratio. She can score, but she really loves running the team and leading the team.
Well, for Ronnie Fisher to say that's the toughest player that he's ever coached, that is something right there. Hey, you want to talk about speed from the land down under? You're Australian, Audrey Fuller, one of the fastest players I know you've ever had. To have her back and her skills, that's going to be important this year too.
It is. Audrey is a senior that has played some important minutes, and she's played the point, she's played the wing, and she competes. She competes, and she's extremely fast, like you said. And also this year she's taken on a role of leadership that she hasn't been doing, and she's leading on both ends, and she's shooting the ball well. So, what's cool about it, though, is Audrey, I don't know that she's the fastest player on the team this year.
Wow,
so
really?
We've got a couple of freshmen that are pretty fast, so it's awesome, and our team speed has increased, and that helps Audrey because Audrey likes getting out and going. And you don't want to be the only one running. So
she's had to play more of a support role with all the stars that you've had on your team over the last couple of years. But I'm telling you what, Gianni Boone, you get the feeling that she's going to explode this year, don't you?
Yeah, I love Gigi, and she's one of the best players, the best one-on-one players, getting the ball to the rim that I've had, and she's getting stronger. She's getting more confident, and she needs to take that next step for us to be successful this year. And she's a kid that I think can average 12, 15 points a game, and I think she's accepting that role, and she's worked really hard. She's in better shape, and her defense has gotten better too. So hopefully she'll continue to improve and be ready to go.
I'm going to brag on you a little bit here, and Tristan Ellidge gave me these great nuggets for today, but you talk about defense, and this statistics, folks, will let you know in one sentence how good Ronnie Fisher's defense is. Campbell is the only program in the nation, all of Division I, the Power Fives, the Power Fours, however you want to say it, is the only program in the nation to be ranked in the top 25 in scoring defense in each of the past 8 years. Not South Carolina, not UConn, not Notre Dame. Campbell, the only program in the nation to be ranked in the top 25. It gets better, folks. In the Ronnie Fisher era, Campbell has held 41 opponents to 40 points or less and 103 opponents to 50 points or less. Last season, Campbell's ranked 8th nationally and 1st in the CAA in scoring defense, allowing a measly 55.1 points per game. Coach, in a college basketball game that leans towards scoring, they make the rules so it's easier to score. They move around the three-point line so it's easier to score. How have you been able to create such consistency on the defensive end?
Yeah, well, I think it starts in recruiting, and we've really bought into recruiting kids that are tough, that want to be a team. And I think you can look at teams and you can look at their defense and tell how good a team they are, because you usually don't get your name in the paper because you play good defense.
Yeah.
So you have to be part of something bigger than yourself. And our kids have bought in and realized that in this culture, this is who we are. We're going to defend. And when you defend, it's going to give you a chance to win every night, even if you don't play so well offensively. So the biggest thing, though, is just recruiting solid kids that have a great work ethic and want to serve each other and play their butt off on the defensive end. So every year they amaze me at how hard they've played, and we demanded it, and they've they've taken it, and the standard is there and it's set, and we're not going to fall below it. That's our goal. But we haven't had this many young players either in the past 8 years. So.
When you have a young team like that, you are a coach that have been doing this for decades now. You've had a lot of success. You know coming in what younger players mean, that transition from high school to college. How do you have to approach things, especially at the beginning here with such a young team?
Yeah, well, we have a meeting on the first day, and we sit around a table, and we talk that every player on our team is an owner. We have no renters on our team, right? So we set our standards that we're going to go by, and we talk about each defensive standard, what's expected. And then from day one, when we step on the court, if the standard's not reached, I kindly let them know about it, right? And not only do I, but the upperclassmen, that's where Audrey and Gigi and Gemma and Courtney and some of our older kids, they understand the standards that are expected, and we've had really good leadership through the years, and we don't, if you're not going hard or you're not doing it the right way, then you're not going to play, or we've got to do something to get your attention. So it's about holding accountability to standards, and the players, I don't know they like it every day, but after they see the results, they take on that personality. And so it's been neat to have that and see it play out.
Another very great thing about your program, especially in this day and age. Look, I was talking about people that have been in your program for 6 years, for 5 years, for 4 years. That does not happen in Division I college basketball in the transfer portal era. You are able to recruit these kids, improve them, win, and then keep them here. You did not have to go into the portal this year to get any kids. You're one of just six programs that didn't do that. Number one, how have you been able to create an environment and a program where people come, people stay, people get better?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is Campbell University itself is such an amazing place, and you have the people here and the education. I think that's part of it. But then the next probably biggest thing is our staff. We have an amazing assistant coaches that have been with us and stayed here, and they have a culture our players enjoy being around. All of our other coaches, I don't know about me, but they enjoy being around them. And our coaches also, like, we've really done a good job of recruiting kids that fit here.
Yeah.
And I remember I've talked to several coaches on staff here. You know, Campbell is a little different place. You want to make sure you get people that fit here, that want to be here, that want to stay here. And I think we've done a good job of that. And when you recruit like-minded players that become a family, they don't want to leave each other. And I think that's what we've done a good job of, and the culture's been really good in our program, and we've had good leadership. And hopefully we can continue that with our freshmen. We have, like I said, five coming in. We want to see them graduate in 4 or 5 years. So
you talk about having great assistant coaches. Lindsey Bowen, who had been here forever, former WNBA Michigan State Hall of Famer, she has moved on, but you replaced her with a Campbell legend, leading three-point shooter ever. We talk about Shai Tooley because of COVID, because of medical hardship. She was here for 6 years, an amazing career, and you convinced her to come back and be a coach. Boy, what an asset she's going to be as an assistant.
Yeah, I love Shai, and you know, she's awfully young, kind of. She was at Campbell 6 years, right?
Yeah.
But I've never had a player that played on the court and the next year became a coach. But, you know, in my mind, Shai had a six-year job interview.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, I've never had a player more loyal, that cared about winning, and came to work every day with a focus, laser focus every day for 6 years.
I mean, that's amazing.
And she came back. She had a season-ending injury her fifth year, and she could have quit basketball, but she came back for a 6 year just because she loved Campbell. She loved playing. And you know, she's able to relate with our players and know exactly where they're at, and she also can push you. She pushed her when she was here. She was a great leader in that area. So it's a blessing to have her back. I hate to lose Lindsey. Lindsey did a great job, but Shai's going to be awesome. And then Megan Hall, I think this is year number 19 or 20 for her.
Oh, my gosh, because she was with Wanda Watkins' staff for a long time.
Yeah, that's one of the best decisions I made to keep her when I came here, and she's been a tremendous – assistant and asset and made her associate head coach as she earned that. And then Lakeisha is a tremendous Lakeisha Gregory is a tremendous coach too. She's been here a couple years now, and she stepped up when Coach Bowen took off. And then we just have a really good staff. And Trevor and Taylor both are amazing in the ops positions and just solid people that I would want my kids to be around, and I think our players really like them.
You mentioned there Wanda Watkins. We talked about Coach Hall being on the staff. Of course, the floor named after her last year, and you and our AD Hannah Bazemore were the first to behind the charge for that. And then Wanda, tomorrow night, is going to be honored as a distinguished alumni, one of the highest honors you can get at Campbell. It's just amazing how she keeps being a part of this program.
It is, and I'll be there. I have my ticket, and she's meant so much to me. It was such a blessing for her to become an administrator after she finished coaching. She was an amazing coach. I competed against her. She's a tremendous coach, but as an administrator, somebody that I could go to and talk that really knew exactly what I was going through and gave tremendous advice. And if you've ever heard her on a broadcast, she's so awesome. She's so positive, and she loves Campbell, and she's given her heart and soul to this place. So she deserves a ton of awards, and I'm really excited for her tomorrow to get that award, and I look forward to being there.
Yeah, it's exciting. I told her when she said she was going to retire, I said, you know now, you can – I understand if you're retired, if you don't want to come back and do and be the color analyst anymore, I'm like, I'm going to offer you. You tell me what you want to do. And she came to me the other day. She's like, I'm doing all the non-conference games so far, probably all the ones in the conference, but I'll commit to that. So yeah. Wanda Watkins will be back on the broadcast on Flow College, which will be sensational.
That's
and
awesome.
So much fun.
Yep.
Let's take a look at this schedule. Once again, Coach Fisher, you've done what you usually do with your women's basketball team. You test them big time. You will open up against Mount Olive on the season opener on November 4th. Then you go at Western Carolina. You're home against High Point, rival, traditional power in the Big South. Then at home against ETSU. That is quite a first couple weeks of basketball.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't even like thinking about it. We're just worried about tomorrow right now.
That's
but,
right.
But we do have our non-conference slate is the hardest we've ever had. You haven't even got to the three ACC teams on there.
I know.
And I've got the youngest team and the hardest schedule. But you know, our league is so good, and I don't know. Hearing Coach Harris talk about football league, I know how good it is. It's so similar women's basketball.
Yeah.
We had five teams in postseason this year, and they won. You know, they did very well. And so we have to get ready for that play, and this non-conference schedule is going to be really good. I know you just mentioned we also go down to Georgia State for a MTE. We play three teams in 3 days that are good mid-major teams, and then I'm sure you're getting ready to get to the teeth of the schedule.
Yeah, it's amazing. You talk about that Thanksgiving tournament. It's Furman. It's Purdue, Fort Wayne, and then it's at Georgia State. You mentioned three ACC teams, at Miami, at Wake Forest, and at Virginia Tech. What is it like for the student-athlete? What is it like to go and play those games against the nation's best?
Our players absolutely love it. Last year we went down to Central Florida, and we played well, and we led for
yes, you did.
Literally to the last second, and we got beat by one down there. But our kids love that challenge, and you have to learn to compete at a higher level, and that's what you want as an athlete, is you want to be pushed to be your best. So we're looking forward to those games, and they make us better. And like I said, the end game is being ready for that conference tournament, and we play in a – tremendous, you know, in Washington, D.C. in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
We had the same arena the Mystics play in. It's a beautiful arena, and it all points to that, you know, and that's why we have the schedule we have.
In your first year in the CAA, what did you notice about that league? You mentioned how good they were, the six teams in postseason play in that. Well, what did you notice night in and night out in that league?
Yeah, two things. It's a much more physical league than the Big South. Tremendously more physical, and from top to bottom, it's their parity is unbelievable. Like last year, there were five teams that made the postseason, and only one of the five were voted in the top four in the preseason rankings.
Wow.
And like Drexel, I mean, they were one game over 500 and they won the league. And so the parity and top to bottom, it's really good. Every night is like a championship game, and you've got to be ready to go.
Coach, we mentioned this when we had lunch last week, the fact that, you know, I look in the mirror, I can see that I've gotten a little older. I'm starting season number 14 here. But when I see coaches' kids who were kids, like your little boy who now is a teenager, I know, man, I've been here for a while, and we've been very thankful and lucky to have coaches like you here for a while. Tell us about what your family's doing right now. You had a big summer.
Yeah, we did. I don't want to hear you talk about getting old. Look at your hair. Look at my hair. I mean, come on, you know. But my wife back there, Julie's in the back here. She's been an amazing wife. We just celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary last
week.
Come
on now, all right.
Yeah, it was, and we have three amazing kids. My oldest son Harrison, he's in grad school at Clemson. He's getting his doctorate there, and he got married this summer. His wife is in grad school with him there. And this past weekend, they were up in Tennessee, watched the Tennessee and Alabama game, so he was loving that orange. And then my daughter, Sydney, she is in Chattanooga. She got married this summer as well. So two of our kids got married, and she's a kindergarten teacher up there and is in her second year, absolutely loves it. And then Jake, our youngest, we had a little 10-year separation there, but Jake will turn 15 next month, and he's doing awesome. Loves playing basketball, and he also is, loves playing guitar.
Yeah,
and he didn't get that from me, either one of them. But we've been blessed. We got an amazing family, and my wife is. If you ever see the life of a coach's wife, until you really see it, you don't understand.
Yeah.
And she's been the rock in our family, so it's awesome.
Well, an amazing coach, an amazing family. You've had chances to go other places. You've chose to stay here. You've chose to raise your family here. You've chose to embrace this community. Why has Campbell been the place for you?
Yeah, it's first about people. You know, I had a good job before I came here, didn't plan on leaving, but the people here were amazing. And then also the chance to win championships. I'm kind of hopefully not too close to the end, but the second half of my coaching career, I want to go to a place where every year we have a chance to win a championship. And I felt like we had that at Campbell. And we've had a chance to win a couple. And now it's time to win it in another league. But I love the people here and winning. And just also it's a place that just fits me and my wife. And we have a great church, and just we are ingrained in this the fabric of this community and just love it here.
Thanks for stopping by. In addition to all the basketball going on in the Creek, still two home football games remaining this Saturday at 3:30. Top 20 ranked Richmond in first place in the CAA will come into town. And then in two Saturdays, Campbell will take on Towson in their final home game of the regular season. Basketball tickets, football tickets, wrestling tickets, all of the schedules, all the ticket information at GoCamels.com. Basketball is back, but everything's still going on as well. Crossover season is here. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.